James chapter 4, verse 6. When I first started preaching, there was a preacher that I looked up to a lot, and I don't ever want to say that I have any idols because the Bible tells us not to do that. But Luke, Brother Luke Spurgeon, Ron's son, was somebody that I looked up to in the preaching world. And I heard him preach these verses at Hendersonville Missionary Baptist. And from the moment he spoke the words, they've stuck with me ever since. And anytime anybody says the word revival, anytime someone says the word salvation, I think of these verses. This is exactly where my mind goes. And I think there's more to a revival than just lost people being saved. I think it's about the saved individuals as well. But in these verses, it gives perfect, and when I say perfect, I mean absolutely perfect direction for what a saved person has to do to be saved. And it just says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's one of the hardest things to do in today's society, is to resist the devil, but that's what God calls us to do. And he goes on and he says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You know, sometimes it takes us getting to the lowest of lows for God to exalt us to the highest of highs. And I say that so often. And as a lost individual, you get to the lowest of lows. And you feel like you've lost everything. You feel like you have absolutely nothing left. And you're right in that feeling. You really do have nothing left. You really have nothing to offer this world. This world has nothing to offer you. But God can bring you from the lowest point in your life, which is where I felt like I was at 10 years old, and he can exalt you to places you never thought imaginable. That's what my God can do. And I can say that it's my God because it's personal. And see, there's so many other denominations out there and so many other religions out there in the world that tell you you have to do this to be saved, or you do this and you repeat this prayer, you say this, you say that, and you get saved. But that's not personal. If somebody tells you you're saved, that's not personal. I can tell you, I can look every single one of you here in the eye tonight and guarantee you for a fact, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that I'm saved. There's no doubt in my mind because I experienced it. It's real to me. It's not just a story. It affected me. And it stuck with me. Just like these verses that Luke preached on a long time ago, and I don't mean to put him up on some type of pedestal, but sometimes certain sermons stick out in your mind and they stay with you for a long time. And that just happened to be one of them in my life. But just like that sermon stuck with me, just like it's never left, even more so, my salvation has stuck with me, and it's never left. And that's something that this world cannot provide you. Everything in this world will burn up, no matter if it's people, no matter if it's houses, no matter if it's cars, money. This entire world one day will be gone from existence and will be no more. But my God will live forever. Forever. So I'll do one quick example. Everybody close your eyes. Yeah. And imagine what your life's going to be like in here. Imagine what you might be doing, the people you might be surrounded by. Now imagine what your life might be in 10 years. Or 20 years. Or 30 years, 50 years, 100 years down the road if you live to be that old. Now think about what heaven will be like, and try to think about what eternity next to your Savior is going to feel like. Amen. And if that doesn't stir and you can open your eyes, if that moment right there, you picturing eternity next to God Almighty, does it stir up your soul, or does it make you want to reach out with everything you have in this very moment to have that experience? And to have that feeling consume you, because that's what it does, it consumes you. And that's how I knew. I mean, how much, let's be honest, and I say this very, very often when I preach, how much does a 10-year-old kid really know about the Bible? About that much. How much does a 10-year-old kid know about who God really is? About that much. But he still revealed himself to me. And if he can talk to me at 10 years old, I know he can talk to somebody at 20 years old, or 30 years old, or 100 years old, or anywhere in between. That's a real, true, and living God. And you can't find that anywhere else. You can't. You can search, you can look, you can, you know, throw your life in any direction that you want to. But God is what everybody needs, whether they realize it or not. Whether they realize it or not. And you know, when I got called to preach, I was 16 years old, and I'm 22 now. And I didn't even realize at that point in my life how much I needed God. And now I sit here at where I'm at in life, and I say, man, I really need God a lot more than what I realized then. And I know in 20 more years or in 10 more years, I'm going to realize, man, Dylan, you needed God even more then than what you realized. But that's the thing, is that He doesn't leave. He's always there. He's always got your back. And He's longing. He's just sitting there waiting for you. All you have to do is take a step. It doesn't say that you have to go out and be this perfect individual. Jesus already did that. He already took care of that part. We can't be perfect. We're sin nature by default. For a fact. You're going to make mistakes and you're going to slip up. It happens. But God realizes that. And that's why He provided Jesus.
Amen.
If we didn't need Jesus, then we would all be fine and we wouldn't even need to be here. There'd be no reason for us to be here. But we needed Him. And Jesus knew it. And He stepped out and stepped up to the plate and gave Himself as a living, perfect sacrifice. And let me read this one more time. It says, this is the only thing for that sacrifice. He didn't require very much in return. So if He lived this perfect life, sin-free, His entire life, hangs on the cross and dies such a cruel death that I couldn't even fathom what that would have felt like. He gave all of that, and this is all He requires, is for me to submit yourselves therefore to God, for us to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. That's all God requires of me to be saved. He doesn't require this long list. In 4, maybe 5 verses tops, He lays it out perfectly, clearly, so that anybody that reads that can understand it. Anybody can be saved. We call this a youth revival, and I love that, and I think that is absolutely phenomenal. But anybody can be saved. We refer to this age of accountability, but the age of accountability is just when you become aware of your soul's condition. That could be at any age. Some people, maybe it happened later on in life. Some people earlier on in life, like it did for me. But God's here, and He wants to save you whether you realize it or not. And He's waiting on you tonight, whether you realize it or not. And Brother Adam's going to stand up here and preach in just a little bit. I urge you to listen to what he has to say from the bottom of my heart. I know that there's a lot of people, and I can remember being 16 years old, and I have no idea how old Brother Adam is, but I can remember being 16 and standing up and feeling like probably nobody wanted to listen to me talk because I was only 16, and what did a 16-year-old kid know? And I still stand up here at 22 years old, and even after, you know, going through an ordination, and I still feel like people probably, you know, look at you and say, well, what does a 22-year-old really know? What do any of us really know? All we know is that God exists. God spoke peace to my soul. He called me to preach at 16. And He called Brother Adam to preach at whatever age it was. And we're just trying to do a job to the best of our ability. I ask y'all to pray for Brother Adam as he stands, that God would give him the right words to be said. And lost friend, however old you are, reach out to God tonight, because life ends just like that. And the question, and this is the question that I pose so often, is every night you lay your head down on your pillow to go to sleep, not being saved, you are literally gambling your entire eternity. You're gambling it because you're not guaranteed the next day. So at this time, I'll turn the service over to Brother Ron or to Brother Adam, whichever one is going to come up next. And I appreciate y'all giving me the opportunity. I didn't want to stand and talk for 30 or 40 minutes. I'm going to let Brother Adam do that.
Appreciate the good devotion tonight. Appreciate him coming and sharing with us tonight. We appreciate the opening remarks. Brother Adam Nash, a few people in my lifetime, I felt impressed to go and ask them whether they're lost or whether they're saved. And there was a revival going on, and Brother Adam was sitting back with his in the back, and the Lord knocked on my heart. If he does that to you tonight, we want you to follow the Lord. In fact, I feel like asking if somebody has a song tonight and you feel like you need to sing, I want you to do that. I want everybody just to mind the Lord. But the Lord knocked on my heart. I went back there and I looked at Adam and I said, Adam, are you lost? And he said, nope. I said, are you saved? He said, yep. I said, have you told your mother? He said, nope. I said, don't you think you ought to go tell her? He said, I guess I ought to. So he went, he told her. And I thought to myself, wow, all you got to do is follow the Lord. And that just might be exactly what someone needs, just to help them to get where they need to be. A few years later, he started dating his fiance, and they were gone to a youth meeting, a youth revival like this in West Virginia and Ohio, right? And in the middle of the night, he comes and he knocks on his future father-in-law's door in the middle of the night, and Andy gets up and says, man, what is wrong with you? He said, I got called to preach. And so he told him about that. And he's been trying to do that ever since. He's the president of the Fellowship of Old Time Baptists at Western Kentucky University. And he's getting ready to get married. He's getting ready to graduate. And it's a thrill for me for him to come and be with us tonight. He's a member of Fairview Missionary Baptist Church in Woodward, Kentucky. And Brother Adam, I'm going to give way to you in just a moment. Does anybody have anything on your heart or a song that you need to sing? Is the Lord knocking on your heart right now? Don't be afraid to let go and let God have right away in this service. Anything on your heart? If not, I'm going to give way to Brother Adam, Brother Adam Nash, to come and preach whatever the Lord lays on his heart.
As Brother Ron said, I am from Fairview and Woodburn, and I'm thankful for the church inviting me to come down tonight. But, you know, whenever Brother Clemens was saying, where are you going to be from a year or not, now I've got to thinking, a year from now is when I'm getting married, so that kind of made me feel good, but that's kind of beside the point. But if you have your Bibles and not to agree with me, I'm going to be reading from Isaiah 44, starting with verse 13. But before that, the text I'm going to read is talking about idols and how in the Old Testament, how pagans or Gentiles would carve idols out of wood and worship them as gods. So I got curious and wanted to know what the definition was of an idol was. So I looked it up in the Webster's 1828 edition. And it says, an image, form, or representation, usually of a man or other animal, constructed as an object of worship, a pagan deity. Idols are usually statues or images carved out of wood or stone, or formed of metals, particularly silver or gold. And, yeah, of course, we all think that's what an idol is, but I like this other definition that was down here. And it was anything of which we set our affections which indulge excessive and sinful attachment. That's where I was on my heart for my message, and it was, what's your idol? And the idol is anything that you put before God. Amen. So starting in verse 13, the carpenter stretched out his rule, and he marketh it with a line. He fitteth it with planes, and marketh it with the compass, and make it after the figure of man, according to the beauty of man, that it may remain in the house. He halleth him draws cedars, and taketh the cypress and the oak, which he strengthened for himself among the trees of the forest. He planteth the ash, and it rain doth nourish it. Then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take up and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth and baketh bread, yet he maketh a god and worshipeth it, and he maketh a graven image and falleth down thereto. He burneth part thereof in the fire, with part thereof he eateth flesh. He roasteth the roast, is satisfied ye. He warmeth himself and saith, the warmth I have seen the fire. And the residue thereof he maketh a god, even the graven image. He falleth down unto it and worshipeth it, and prayeth unto it, and he said, deliver me, for thou art my God. They have not known nor understood, for he hath shut their eyes so that they cannot see, in their hearts that they cannot understand. And none considereth it in his heart, neither is there knowledge nor understanding to say, I have burned part of it in the fire, also I have baked bread upon the coals thereof. I have roasted flesh and eaten of it, and shall I make residue thereof an abomination? So I fall down to the stalk of a tree. He feedeth on the ashes, and deceiveth the heart turned aside. He that cannot deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? So what that's basically saying is that we can go out, it doesn't have to be an idol out of wood, it could be anything. We can go out and we get the resources from the earth that God provided us, and we go and make something with it. And then, as in this example, out of the wood, he cooks with it. He burns the wood for heat, and he uses that to cook his food. But then he uses the other part of that same exact tree to make an idol to worship. And he said, and he's using that to worship, saying it's a god. But you just made that god with your own two hands, and you're using half of that wood for your own warmth, and you're burning it. So how can that be a god? You know, example that a very familiar story of an idol that most of us know is over in Exodus, and it is chapter 32, verses 7 through 10, when the Israelites made the golden calf. And the Lord saith unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up and out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold it, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make thee a great nation. Now, in the Ten Commandments, it says only have one God. So, if you're making an idol, you're making another God, even if you do not realize it. You know, over in that Isaiah, God was using Isaiah to be a mouthpiece talking to the pagans, saying, how can you make something and burn it, and you say it's an idol when you're making it with your own two hands? Because God made us. How can we make a God?
Amen.
You know, and then if we put an idol in front of us, an idol can be a vehicle, another person, something that you cherish dearly. It doesn't have to be another God. If we put them in front of God, then we are just deceiving ourselves and we're missing out on our own blessings. You know, many lost people are putting an idol in their way of getting saved. It could be their favorite toy or something like that. And they're using it and putting it in their way, and that's what's keeping them from getting saved. And they're sitting back, not realizing that they're using that as an idol, when I'm sure everybody in this room has had something, an idol, that they put before God. And over in Exodus, God wanted to kill all the Israelites for making that golden image. But if you read on, Moses asked for forgiveness and ended up saving the Israelites. But the only reason that God spared them is because of His mercy.
Amen.
And all of us, even the saved and lost alike, when we put that out in front of us, then we have to go and ask for God's mercy to forgive us and to repent for what we did. You know, we have to beg for forgiveness just like the lost beg for forgiveness, because we cannot... We can't go a day without committing a sin. It may not have any idol, but it may just not be doing what God tells you to do and fall into letting the devil win. But we have to be willing to go out and do what God wants us to do. And then when we do sin, we must ask for forgiveness, because that's the only way that we can continue on. And God just gave us enough mercy that we have an opportunity to ask for forgiveness. And the lost, He gave y'all another chance to be able to come and to speak tonight if He's touching your heart. And if you are lost and you're not feeling conviction, you need to be praying for that conviction, because, you know, like Brother Ron said, I'm from Kentucky, I'm a farmer. I'm used to a traffic jam being a tractor and not being all this traffic. I can't imagine driving in this every day. And if you're lost, I would be scared to drive out and go out these doors and be in this traffic. And if we go over to 1 John chapter 5, it tells us what we must do in order to put the idol away. And Brother Clemens touched on that by pushing the devil away and putting God first. But in 1 John chapter 5, in verses 17 through 21, it says, All righteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and has given us an understanding, that we may know that this is true, and that we are in him that is true, even his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. You know, the punishment of sin is death. There's no questions about that. As soon as Adam and Eve ate that apple, they brought sin to the world, and they realized that they were naked. And that's whenever death started in the world. You know, that right there is talking about salvation, saying we have to be saved. It says when we're saved, the devil cannot touch us. He cannot touch our souls, but he can mess with us and with our flesh and do whatever he can to try to get us away from serving God. Just a couple weeks ago, me and my fiance were at my house, and I put up new hangers in my closet, and the entire rack fell off the wall. And we had just got done talking about how well everything had been going with the house. We just got it, and we were getting it ready for whenever we get married, for her to move in, get it together, and that just falls off the wall. And I get mad, because that's just what I do, and she's back there telling me, you're just letting the devil get to you, you're just letting the devil get to you, and I just ignored her, and then she got mad, as I look back now, I can see that was the devil just messing with us, because we were just talking about how great things were going, and then that goes and happens, and then when I put it back up, it falls down again, and it just, the devil can attack us when we think everything's going good. We were talking, our student group on Western Campus meets every Thursday night, and we were talking last night, talking about how things go, and it seems like every time you get where you don't seem like anything's bothering you, that's when the devil's going to hit you the hardest. And I was talking to Brother Ryan Skinner, Brother Stephen Skinner's grandson, and he said, you know, if you're not having trouble with the devil, then you're not doing something right. And that is a very true statement, and we have to pray that we can keep the devil off of us, or when the devil does attack us, that we do push it off. You know, I feel like one of the biggest problems is with having the idols, which is idol means just putting something before God. I know when I was in high school, I was all about my truck, and I could always put it in front of God. It seemed like I would always want to be working on it or doing something to it. And when I would go to church, I would be wanting to go to show off in my truck, which was not right. And I've finally gotten over that and realized that I was putting my truck as an idol before God. You know, it seems so simple just to put God first, but when we get out into the world, it seems like it's one of the hardest things that we can do. Everything around us. You know, and it even says in 1 John, in verse 19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. Now, we see it more and more every day with the way the media is that, you know, this world is very wicked, and we can see it, but yet we go out and continue to do stuff like that. I mean, it's just part of our culture. Look at the music. Everything seems to be all about that sex and stuff like that, but we have to be willing to stand against that. And, you know, when we stand against it, people are going to look at us weird and think that we're not, think that we're different. But that's just what we have to do, and be willing to do what God wants us to do. Because for Jesus went and died on the cross for us, took all that punishment, and all we have to do is do His will and endure a quarter of the punishment that Jesus had to endure on the cross. You know, and it just says that we know that we are of God. All of us that are saved, that have that no-so salvation, we know that anytime we have a problem, we can go to God and ask for His help, and He will help us. It may not be in our time, but He will help us. Any lost person out there that's feeling that conviction, you should be blessed that you're feeling that conviction. He's giving you another chance to come and seek Him. Because there's no guarantee you'll get home. There's no guarantee you'll walk out these doors here tonight. Why sit down and let the devil win and put that idol? You can even use the devil as an idol, putting him before God. So why sit back and let the devil win? You know, as I said, it says little children, but that can mean anybody. We're all children of God if we're saved. children, we must keep ourselves from idols, and we must not let the devil win. We must stand up for God and put our armor of God on and be willing to do what God wants. So I would just like to propose a question tonight to think, what is your idol? What do you put before God? If you do put something before God, ask that God will help you to get it out of the way and that you can help to serve God and do His will. If we just do one little thing, like what Brother Ron said, I was so silent when I was younger, and I was just, I would lay in bed at night and think, how am I going to tell my parents that I've been saved? And I was just so scared to do it. I was letting the devil win. I was saved 2, 3, 4 years before I was finally told. But I just kept letting the devil win. And all it took was Brother Ron doing what the Lord wanted him to come and ask me if I was saved. So just don't let the devil or your idol, whatever it may be, win. Be willing to do what the Lord wants you to. And if He's convicting your heart, you need to come up here and be on this altar. Don't be scared. We're all here. We all love you. We want you to be saved. Just question your heart tonight. What's your idol?
Appreciate the good message tonight. While he was preaching, there's a verse of scripture that came to me being on a Friday night. You could go anywhere. You know, there's football games. There's all kinds of things going on in the world today that people put before going to church. And this verse of scripture came to me in the third epistle. It says, I have no greater joy, he said, than to hear that my children walk in truth. There's nothing that gives me greater joy than to see everyone that's assembled here tonight and to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tonight, if you're here and you've never been saved, you may have never made your way to an old-fashioned mourner's bench. As we stand and sing, if you feel God knocking on your heart and you want to come up here and pray, they've already made mention of, it's a personal thing between you and God. This is between you and God. And so if you're here tonight and you feel like you need to come up and pray, as we stand and sing, we want to give you that invitation. And everybody just mind the Lord. If somebody, the Lord gives somebody something to say or do, you just mind the Lord. But if you'd like to come up and pray, don't be ashamed. Just come on up. God's people will get around you and pray with you. But it's your prayer that God is listening for tonight. So if we stand and sing, go ahead.
gospel, dear Lord, to penetrate his heart, make him realize that being saved is great, and when he wants to be saved, Lord, he needs to be troubled in his soul with what it means and lost and separated. Thank you, Lord, for being here, Lord, when he realizes the Lord to come and reach out and beg for mercy. We know as all of God says mercy and generosity, all we can do is for this Lord, Lord, who's on the battle of the Lord. So, Lord, we pray, Lord, and we can be down here, Lord, and we're out of
then I told my wife, I said, John, you take a chance. If she ain't got no chance, then she's gone.
Amen.
And so I did, and that was the devil working on me. I said, well, I'm going to stay home, chill out, watch college ball or whatever. And I was thinking, no, So I was on vacation on my phone at the church family. My family was praying for me. The kids didn't want to go to church. And I said, we're going anyway. And I'm so glad I'm here.
Amen.
I'm just so glad to thank my soul.
Amen.
The devil wants to tell me all the time why he's
saved. Amen. God bless you, Brother Gerald. He was there tonight, and his wife Kathy got saved, and we're here tonight. They're down Calvary. The look on his face, I mean, the look on her face was wonderful, but the look on his face, oh, it was disturbing. Because he knew that it was real, what she had, and he still didn't have it. And I'm glad he kept building that to God.
Amen.
And we got it. Thank the Lord. And pray for his daughter and pray for his son. Up here tonight. Just keep coming on the sound of the gospel. The Lord take care of you. Anything else in anyone's heart before you? Do anything else?
I would just like to tell him that you don't have to be at church to get saved.
Amen.
You can say anywhere.
Right.
It's you and God.
Amen.
Just have a conversation with him and he'll be wherever you are.
Amen. I got saved at home. Anybody else get saved any other place besides the church? Yeah. Lord save you. Whatever you meet his condition. I appreciate that. Anybody else have anything on your heart? You have another song or two?
Anybody like to sing one?
Yeah. Let's stand and sing. Come around and shake hands with each other. And I'm glad for him. Glad for the one that laid the last night. Brother Jimmy's really glad for him. Anyway. Thanks for coming home. You two preachers come up and have a wonderful job. I want to encourage them. We need to encourage one another. This is to encourage the young people. We need them. We need them today. Some people say that the church is tomorrow. We need them today. They can reach people that I can't reach. So we need them today. We need them now. Because we stand the same.
Alright, page 101. No tears in heaven.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
Thank
you. Anyone else have anything on your heart to speak?
No, I'm not going to get anything. I'm not sure when it's good time.
Okay, you want to say something? You got to talk. Okay.
Can I say something?
Please.
I can't just say that I see a lot of tear shit sometimes. It's my job. But I'm thankful that Graffiti Thank God has put me there to try to be a help to somebody. So I can just see His love in me. To be put me there for a reason. I don't know, my heart's just heavy. Just, and for me was all the people that God sends in my path that I can be a help to them in some way.
Amen.
I'm thankful that God put you here and has given me an opportunity to invite people to come to a church right close to where I work. It only took me, you know, maybe 15 minutes to get here. Just pray that God will open those doors and that I can encourage my coworkers or anybody that God puts in my path to come this way, and that I know that there's a loving body of people here that will reach out to them and that they might hear God's truth and be saved.
Amen. Blessings in heaven. She's an oncology nurse. She works in infusion. Before then, she actually was with the patients. I'll never forget, she called me in. But she was really disturbed by a young lady that was dying with cancer. She was 32 years old. And she was from Carthage. And then she called me back after a few days after the funeral. She said, "Dad, you know that she was a member of North Carthage?" She still passed away and thought she didn't, but she knows where she was going. So if you pray for her, pray for Brother Jimmy, and pray for all of them that are suffering. You've been praying for Brother Scott before she came here. God did. And just remember him. And I'm glad that she's sending people our way. Anybody else have anything on your heart? For Brother Dylan's sake.
There's only one song that I can sing on the spot without a piano, so I'm going to sing "Bugle Land." And this song means a lot to me because I sang it at my mamaw's funeral. This is the first time that I've ever sang at a funeral. And it paints a perfect picture, I guess you could say, for what it's going to be like. If you can paint a picture, you can even fathom what heaven's going to be like. If we can even scratch the surface of what God offers there, I think this song does it at least a little bit of justice. So, bear with me as I try to sing. I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken, for time it won't matter anymore. I'm looking now across that river where my fate shall end inside. There's just you, more days to labor than I will take my heavenly flight. you know it, sing with me on the chorus.
You run land, I'm longing for you.
Thank you. tell the young person that I'm going to enjoy it.
Amen.
It gives me hope.
Yes.
As I look around, I used to be your age, and now I'm one of the elders. And I think this church, I was thinking, I was telling my son here, my first visit to here was about 1956. Brother Walter Gregory organized the church. And shortly thereafter, Brother David Arnton called us singing school here. And a bunch of us from Lafayette came down to support Brother David. And the fact is, what I'm trying to say is, you're still carrying on the
Amen.
Way. You're not giving up the fight.
Amen.
And it's been a great joy tonight. And then my wife, whether she wants to admit or not, this is her grandson. We were married here 50 years ago, right there about where Brother Ron stands. And so this church, I want to encourage you because it's been a great blessing in our life 50 years.
Amen.
And thank you for asking the grandson.
Thank you.
Lead the stage tonight. What a joy it's been.
Amen.
God bless
you.
Keep on preaching.
Amen.
And I'd like to say, at 9 years old, and I didn't even realize this, I was seeking the Lord. Brother Luther Stewart was my pastor. He preached the gospel here, Brother Wilson. That convicted my soul of sin. And at 9 years old, I'm like, Brother Dillon, I didn't know a lot about the Bible. But I'm telling you, when God deals with your heart, you know it.
Amen.
And you better seek the Lord.
Amen.
So I had one night, I went to the altar, and I didn't find the Lord. I went back the next day, and I thought I'd given up everything. And He showed me, the Lord showed me what I was still holding on to. And as soon as I gave that up, the Lord said, it's just like that.
Amen.
So, your preaching tonight hit me right between the eyes, and you can't paralyze us. No matter when or where or whatever, we're going to serve God.
Amen.
Thank you for letting us be here tonight.
Thank you,
Brother Ron.
Luther Stewart, the first church I pastored was Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church. Of course, Brother Mike was up there. Brother Stewart pastored there, but he also was buried there.
That's right.
And I would go out there, and I got to hear him preach while he was in the grave. Brother Wilson had an old 78 record where he recorded a sermon. You ever get a chance to listen? The title of it is "The Lord Is My Shepherd." It was good. It was real good. And so, you get a chance to listen to that. It's available. Glad to have you here. Glad that we're going to celebrate 60 years here at this church, November the 6th. We invite everybody to come back. Also tomorrow, 4:30, we're going to have a cookout. Invite anybody who'd like to come, neighbors, and anyone else. So we're just so thankful. I've really enjoyed being here tonight, last night. Looking forward to tomorrow. God, last time to go on. Want you all to come back, bring somebody with you. Does anybody else have anything on your heart? Song you sing, anything at all before we and go any further in the service.
I'd like to pray 3:34.
3:34. 3:34. You know that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. You're a healer, I mean, she's a healer.
Oh, Holy Russians campus. And also remember Brother Zach Haley.
Amen.
I think he only has half of the one left working from his cancer, and we went and saw him a couple weeks ago, and he's not doing very good at all. He's just 20, so his family's taking care of him.
Amen.
Just remember all of them.
Amen. His father's going to be here to preach for us in a couple of months, so pray for him. Anyone else?
Yes.
Let's pray. Yeah, we need to pray for these people that have cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them may not know it or not, but I was told it for 30 years, but I had a consciousness on it. A month ago, I was told it's cancer first.
Amen.
And then the Lord can do it for you.
Yeah.
And I will stand by and thank you for
it. Amen.
He knows what's ahead of us.
Yes.
I may not be here tomorrow, but I'm ready to go. I want to thank you for what he's done for me.
Amen.
And people are here for special. I mean, I'm just having those little angels. Help these people. Get on. My best friend is Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, brother. We appreciate these words. Amen. Amen. Anyone else?
Brother, I'd just like to tell the young men that I enjoyed their message, but I really want to say how much I appreciate Hank over there.
Amen.
I really do. I just look at him, and you know, he's probably just about being ready to be anywhere in the world, but you know what? He's not. He's in the Lord's house, and he's trying to do the Lord's work, and I'm super proud of him.
Amen.
I really don't. Last night, it was Josh Gregory, I mean, Josh Bradley, who was here last night, I'm sorry, and this is Hank Dillard. They're going to have two more young men that are coming. They've all been to Doe Ray, and his brother Key is here, and he knows that Doe Ray is really, really close to my heart. So I just want to say thank you to him for his
school
that he put on up there, because he's doing a big work. If you know anybody that even wants to even try to sing with us, you see, I can't, but I love it. Knowing that these people like me, they can do miracles for me. And I'm so proud of you, Hank. I really am, buddy. And I thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts for his pain and health. And for these wonderful young men here, let's just keep praying for these young guys. That they it's such a battle out there. I'm so thankful that we have all of our leaders. Thank you, everybody.
Amen.
Support our revival.
Amen.
More importantly, Lord, to save myself.
Amen.
Bless us constantly.
Amen.
And to be just so good to me. I love that we can be still and we can be still now. Just be still. If you're still and quiet, you can just feel that. You can feel that peace in your heart. Know it's real.
Amen. God bless you. That's on my bucket list. Go back to Sunday school one of these days so I can learn to sing. Well, you learn what I'm thinking about, but I appreciate that.
Well, I would also thank the church here for sharing our word and putting us to music.
Amen.
That's all we're doing. We try our best to teach these kids and older folks too how to sing for the Lord.
Amen.
We're thankful that folks have got saved there.
Amen.
That God has been with us every year. And I'm not bragging those as bad, but I guess I am.
Rain on the Lord.
Amen. God's been with us, and no one who's right here with us and has faith church ever since we started that. I bet you with that. I know, and we all know, how much that Spirit deals in a song, Brother Ron.
Amen.
If you've never felt the Lord visit with you in a song, you're going to survive.
Exactly. Amen.
What a joy this is when you begin this.
Amen.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you. When I started singing with the family quartet, I wasn't saved. And all of you know, I took my aunt's place. They needed a woman sing, so they got me to sing for her. She died of cancer, my aunt told me, and so I learned to sing household or high tenor or whatever. And we were singing Independent Illinois. I'll never forget it. I've gotten saved, but I haven't told anybody. And
a song got a hold of me. And I let out a shout. And all my uncle stopped singing and looked at me and went to the parents. But you know what? You can sing gospel music, but boy, when you start feeling it, then it's real.
Right.
And I appreciate that. Anything else in anyone's heart? I just feel like when I was singing the Days of the Week song, and there's a different group of people here tonight. I stood up for Sister Susan requested. So if you know the day of the week you got saved, stand up on that day. We got time this Friday night, right?
Glory, 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 somebody touch me. Glory, 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 somebody touch me. Glory, 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 somebody touch me. I'm growing on the hand of the Lord. It was on a Monday.
Thankful for the Lord's saving grace.
Amen.
Amen.
been good to be in the house of the Lord. It's been wonderful to be able to come and assemble ourselves and let Him just stir up in our hearts the joy and thanksgiving
to His presence.
Thank you, Brother Andy. I appreciate that. Every time I walk in this building, I know I'm in the right place. I didn't want to leave the church. I pastored 10 years, but the Lord wanted to be here, and I'm glad He sent us here.
Amen.
I get excited every time. I mean, I was just dead tired today. I'm telling you, I was just dead tired. But I walk in here, and it's just like the Lord just picks you right now. And I'm thankful for that. Anything else?
I like to thank the Lord for saving my soul. August 1st, 1951. I believe that's been about 55 years.
Bless your heart, man.
And I didn't know what day of the week it was for a long time. I don't even know how I remember the day of the month. But I have a Bible that we got not long after we married. And I hadn't told this before. I don't know why I need to say it now, but when we got married, we didn't have much money. And we saved nickels. And when we got enough, we ordered a Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got our name on the front of it. And not too long ago, well, I don't know how many years it's been, but I was looking in that Bible and it said, August 1st, 1951. So I thought, how did I remember that? And I don't remember writing anything on my face. But anyway, that was good enough. Amen. But in the Bible, and I looked in the, you know, these things that happened in certain years that has events that happened in certain years.
Yes.
Well, I found one in 1951. And I looked on August 1st, and it was on me. So that's how I know.
There you go.
And I'm so thankful for that.
Amen. Amen.
And another thing I thought about, we sing about the rock, and I'm so glad that I'm on that rock.
Amen.
And I've slipped and all over that rock, but I never have fallen off.
Anybody else? I'm a no bird.
Right. Hey, thank the Lord for something tonight. I got a new boss back in February, and I prayed for him first off, but I spent the last couple months just really not doing my job and having a tough time with it. And you know, Jehovah provides, and He allowed my company to be a new office and allowed me to transfer office. He gave me a boss. He's a good, upstanding Christian man. I've got full belief the Lord saved his soul. And he's just really been a blessing that He allowed me to leave work early to come to stuff like this.
Amen.
And until you've been put in that situation, you don't really understand it, especially as a minister. It means a lot. I've been doing my God a lot of disservice. So I just publicly thank Him for just giving me a little blessing like that. That I can just leave work early enough to drive down here maybe for revival. And I, you know, you don't think about these things a lot, but I'm thankful for that. But I want you to pray. I've got a co-worker who's a Baptist minister, and I believe he's been saved too. But his grandmother's ill with cancer, and her stomach's been ill with cancer, and she can't eat. And his family's basically watching grandmother starve to death. This started a month ago. She's still here. and I talked to him for just a minute today, and he said his great is dad Arch. This is his last parent, and he asked me to pray for him, and I told him I'm going to be revived tonight. He asked me that y'all would pray for me, that the Lord would just work in a mighty way, and she knows where she's going. But he said he's tired of watching her suffer, and she's tired of suffering. And, you know, there comes a point in time where you can't distrust the Lord, but you got to ask him for relief. And he said that her relief will be going on in heaven. And what a blessing. But I got plenty to be thankful for tonight. I pray for the host. They need our prayers in a bad way tonight.
Texted me today and when we go out service went last night, said he's gonna try to come, he's gonna be preaching for us tomorrow. If you never heard him preach, I would strongly encourage you to come and listen to what he's got to say.
Okay. Thank you. Church on anything out of people. I want to share this with y'all and I don't know what it's for. You know, we live in a pretty wicked world and things aren't always great. But no matter what happens, God is always on the throne.
Amen.
Always there for
us.
And I think that has got me through this week. Just knowing that no matter how low you are or what's going on, God is on the throne. There for you at all times.
Amen. God bless you, Sister Andrew. We appreciate these encouragements. Amen. Anyone else?
Same number,
Sister Matt. Look, Sister Valerie back there. I watched her get saved. It was just a thing.
Traveling on.
listen to everything all these years. And we're praying. It's never been to the curve for these things. It's a hard one. And we're to the curve. It's never for me. Let go of people I love. It's been a question to the curve for now. And we're to the curve. Let go.
Amen.
Bless
your heart. Amen.
Yeah. us all.
Amen.
And I want to thank you for all the blessings that he's given us. I really struggled when you left and moved here, because I was saved under his preaching, and it was really hard being leave. But I'm so glad to have been able to visit your church.
Amen.
And it's been a blessing to be here. And I want to thank the Lord for working in ways that we don't know, we don't
That's
see.
Right.
When I was a little girl, I always prayed that I would have a godly man in my life, and that was my prayer. And the day that Adam was called to preach, I said, "Whoa, Lord, this is not what I meant. I'm a preacher." I said, "I cannot be a preacher's wife. That is not what I'm cut out for." And it was just this overwhelming peace that came over me at that minute that said, "You've got this. I've molded you and I've made you." And we've molded and made these idols, like Adam had talked about tonight. And we've all got to push them out of our way, and we all struggle with that. And I hope that I can push my idols out of the way and get where the Lord needs me to be, so that I can be the wife that I'm supposed to be. Because this time next year, I will be a preacher's wife, and I just hope that I can be the support system that he needs, and that we can lead our family the way we're supposed to. And I ask that you guys would just pray for us.
Amen. Bless my sister Valerie. Appreciate her so much. I just started pastoring there at Fairview, and the first Christmas that we came to, the community, Woodburn, always had a Christmas parade. And I asked the church, I said, "Have you ever put a float in a Christmas parade?" They said, "Well, no." I said, "Well, let's do it." So we put together a major scene on a trailer and went on and won first place, the first time we've ever been in. Won first place every year because we're the only one in. That's not the good part. The good part is that particular Saturday, we came to church Sunday morning after that, and two angels that were on that float, and Mary and Joseph, all got saved.
Amen.
So they hadn't quit putting a float in Christmas parade even to this day. Some people say, "Well, y'all not do that. That's old fashioned Missionary Baptist Church. You ought to do everything you can to reach out to the community." And with the truth. And so that was the sealer right there. And she's one of them that got saved. That's done that. Anything else in anyone's heart? Well, it's been wonderful for you to be here, for the Lord to be here. We invite you to come back. Sister Cindy said she didn't know what time it was in Kenya, Africa. Well, I do. I'm going to tell you how I know. When I was in Kenya, Africa, it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and my phone rang. So it was about 5 or 6 o'clock in the afternoon here, but it was 3 o'clock in the morning there. So I answered the phone and I said, "Hello." It was my niece, Emily. She said, "Uncle Ron, you want to buy some Girl Scout cookies?" She didn't know I was in Kenya, Africa. I said, "Yes, honey, just put me down for $2. Well, that's about what time it is there in Kenya, Africa. Everybody stand. Brother Terry Parker, would you pray?
Father Heaven, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here today. We thank you, Lord, for the many testimonies that we've heard tonight. We thank you for the spirit that we felt moving among us, Lord. Thank you for the preaching that's been done, the message that's gone out. Lord, we'd ask you to bring conviction upon the lost that might have been here. Lord, that they might turn to you and be saved, of course, everlasting today. We'd ask, Lord, to hear the prayer request that's been made tonight. One for cancer and for the many sick and elderly. Lord, we ask you to watch over us and to meet with us again tomorrow in a great way. Lord, we ask, Lord, to help us to be better, to do better, Lord, to serve you, to put aside the idols that come up in each and every one of our hearts on a daily basis. Lord, we'd ask you to forgive us for sins, shortcomings. Be with us until we meet again. These favors we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming.